Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
No Flames hockey. They'll wrap things up Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not wrap things up, but wrap up the home.
Their
home.
Last week game of the week is on Friday.
Yeah, I'll wrap up the week. Thank you. Friday against the Oilers, mm-hmm, after a 4-0 victory last night. Sutter, Stone, Weegar, Huberdeau. You got to put a little French on it like our pal Julian does.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have that French with the Franco names. He's going to.
So good.
He's going to keep going
just,
with that.
I tried it yesterday after the show. I was like, Huberdeau. I can't quite do it as good as our pal
Jeremy Poirier.
Yeah. No, it's just. It sounds like I'm mocking the accent when I do it. When Julian does it, obviously being from
he lived
east,
in Montreal,
it's,
right?
Yeah, much easier for him. But I feel like I'm doing it injustice when I do it. Good night for the Flames last night. 4-0 victory. Combined shutout from Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf. Lots of positives for the group. Michael Stone making a solid impression. Not that I feel he needed to make one, but he had another good one.
Hey.
Last night.
Keep doing that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
You'll always have a job.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is just a consummate pro. Continues to be an asset for this team. And I thought it was worth a listen from last night, his post-game chat with the media, talking, you know, about this PTO that he's on.
It's a tough situation for
players. It's a weird one for him. And as you hear from Mike, you know, in this, it's a situation for him where he wants to continue the dream, mm-hmm, of playing in the NHL, and you can't blame a guy, but he's also very cognizant of his family and the situation that his kids and his wife are in, and, you know, not wanting to move around the world, or North America at least, to continue playing pro hockey, can limit your options. And here is Michael Stone post-game talking about his performance last night and what it's like coming into camp on a PTO and, you know, essentially fighting for a job on this team.
Just a thought on the game here tonight. Obviously, lots of veterans in your lineup, but how did you guys think you managed it?
Pretty well. I think there's lots of little things that we can do better, but I thought it was, you know, it's game two for a lot of guys, so I thought it was good.
How are you managing this? This is not completely unfamiliar territory. How are you handling all of this, and what is your mindset as you continue to go through this once again?
This is not a new position for me, so I'm just here playing like I know. Oh, I can play, so that's pretty much it.
Does stress or any of that at this point sneak in, or is this...
I'm always stressed.
You don't hide it. I mean, you don't worry. You do hide it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Is McKenzie weaker?
At this point, it is what it is, so...
Yeah.
It's just the way I have to approach it, so...
And the approach is just continue to do what you've always done.
I think so. Be a good teammate. Play well when I get a chance to play, and... try and make the most of it.
And then hammer one home.
Yeah, there you go.
Seems simple.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've worked on off the ice that you think has contributed to your longevity?
I mean, a few years ago, I had a lot of time off with the blood clot, so that stuff, nothing in particular. Just, I'm hanging on, really. Like, that's just what I'm trying to do.
Do we maybe need to remind ourselves that you're still only 32 years old?
Like, only 32, yeah.
I can say only because I'm 39, so cling to it while you can.
Yeah, you need to play as long as you can, right? So I like to stick around here, and I'd like to stay in this organization, so that's why I'm here.
Do you ever see yourself playing anywhere else?
I mean, if I haven't had a whole lot of that kind of opportunity, and when it's late and you got 3 kids in school and everything going on, it's hard to do. So at this point, not really right now.
Yeah, you've set down a lot of roots here in Calgary, it seems like, over the last few years.
Not planning on going anywhere when I'm done playing, so.
Is there a wrinkle with it being a PTO this time as opposed to a contract that we normally see you sign in September?
To be honest, I haven't even really paid much attention to that. I just I feel like I'm here and I come to the rink every day like I always do, and that doesn't really matter. Hopefully things work out the way I would like them to, and we'll see what happens.
There you go. That's Calgary Flames defenseman Michael Stone speaking post-game after a goal and assist last night in the Flames' win over the Edmonton Oilers. And
But talk about Valimaki, Mackie, Melosh is that six. Hey, Michael Stone might be the guy that is leading the charge for that six. He has the most experience there, you know, stepping in last year for Tanev. Hell yeah, I'm on the Michael Stone band. Like, let's go.
Wouldn't stun me at all.
Yeah.
And look, someone pointed this out on the text line, and I don't think it was wrong. This texter texted in saying Stone sounded kind of rattled, and yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Michael sounded a little bit, I don't know, frustrated's the word. I don't know if rattled's the right word for it either. It just sounded a bit like the process is.
It wears on you,
right? And you're, for him, he wants to do everything he can to remain in the NHL. And he, you know, we say all these good things about him. Fans say all the good things about him. But he's got to come in and work on a PTO. And I had this conversation with Pat when the Brett Ritchie news was signing, was coming down. And
why is that money not going to him?
Well, not even that it's not even the money thing. It's just, I don't understand why the organization would look at Michael Stone and say there's a guy that needs to earn it, and Brett Ritchie doesn't.
Yeah,
not that I'm not. Brett Ritchie's is fine to me. I don't have a problem with Brett Ritchie as an extra forward. I think he's fine. I wasn't as high on him as Pat was, and that's fine. We can disagree on that sort of thing. But to me, I just looked at. I think you've had a longer body of work with Michael Stone. I think he's as dependable as it comes. I really feel as though the results for a guy like Michael Stone as that extra guy are more consistent than a guy like Brett Ritchie. And I thought you had more questions at forward than you had on defense. But I just thought if I was looking at guys who I was going to give PTOs to and guys who I felt comfortable guaranteeing a year contract, I would have gone to Stone.
Yeah. I feel right? He's earned it.
I think the guy's been a good soldier for your team.
Definitely. How horrible. It's not horrible to be like, yeah, I'm a part of an NHL team. I'm making all this money. But, like, you're the black ace in a playoff series, man. That is like, your dream is to play in the Stanley Cup Final. Or not Stanley Cup, the playoffs and whatnot. And that is a tough gig for somebody to do that. And Michael Stone has done that year after year. Not been like I agree with you, Logo.
Yeah, to me it's a tough one.
Never really thought about that.
I would have given him a contract, man. I wouldn't have thought twice about it. That's just me. I know he only played in 11 games last year, but they were important ones. He played in nine. He almost played in as many playoff games as he did regular season games. If you can't trust him in the playoffs,
the defenseman
wouldn't play, and he put him in for nine playoff games. I think that tells you everything you need to know. And by the way, at 5 points in those games. I don't get it. That's me. Well,
and you see the guys like DeSimone getting a contract, Melosh getting a contract. This was all on day one of free agency. You had to wait until bloody September for Michael Stone to like, he'll be here. He'll be here. He'll be here. He'll be here.
To me, it's, I don't know if resentment is the right word, but it just kind of feels like maybe they're, just they understand, well, Mike's going to be there. Mike will be there. We'll get something figured out with Mike.
Anybody can sign Michael Stone right now.
Yeah, but as you heard there,
but he doesn't want to.
To.
He doesn't want to leave.
He's got kids in school. And so I don't want to say they're taking advantage of it because I don't think that's the appropriate term for it. But I just look at the situation. I look what the guy's given you now in parts of his sixth season with the Flames. I would have given him a contract. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said come in on a PTO and we'll figure things out. Even if there was a contract at the end and they always knew there was going to be one at the end, I think he's done enough. I think he's been a good enough soldier for your team that you can give Michael Stone a league minimum or an $800,000 deal and not think twice about it and worry about it at all. Some of the text line here at 960-960. This is a funny one. I don't know if it's intended to be, but it's a good one. Stone is a gem and a beauty. he should be in our top six. Don't know why nobody gives him as much love as he deserves. Look, if Shillington is out long-term here, and Valimaki or Mackie don't impress, I would have Mike Stone penciled in.
Yeah.
I have no doubt he would be able to provide whatever the Flames need out of him. This text says, it's funny, the guys you want to stay leave, and the guys you want to be here and live here have to earn it to stay. You got to admire Stone. This text says, I love Stone. This one says, as an Oilers fan, I shake my head with the Flames' treatment of Michael Stone seemingly every year. Makes no sense. Dude should have been signed instead of Richie. This text says, don't correct yourself. Richie needed to prove himself, not Stone. Now you've got me fired up thinking about that. Why not just give Stone a max-length $750,000 contract? It's good money to the average schmo. Job security, especially with the Wranglers being in town. Now, at the very least, you can send him down and he can stay in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, and more, honestly, the text line's more of the same. I've never had a problem with Stone. Like having him around. He'll sign a two-way end of story, come up and down. Yeah, it's just... I think it's just an interesting situation with him, and I thought his comments last night were very open and honest with what's a tough situation. And Zach says, you guys are making a big deal out of the Flames' nine defensemen. We're not talking about making a big deal. We're just talking about a situation that the guy is in right now on a PTO, and that's a tough spot for anybody.
Yeah,
he wants to play in Calgary. It's the only spot he wants to go because of his family.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep an NHL dream going. I think he's earned an NHL contract, but he's stuck with a PTO right now, and I think he's playing better than a PTO player. You know, most PTOs, I would say, do. I think he's got a trust level with the organization. That's just my opinion on it. So.
Yeah, and you know, the coaching staff talks about having guys that they know, like the young guys aren't going to play, or if they are going to play, they're going to have to play meaningful minutes down in with the Wranglers or back in junior. Like, that's what we talk about, Jake Pelche. Dude's not served to be a fourth liner here. He's going to play top line minutes with the Wranglers. Adam Rzeczka, same way, not a fourth liner. I think Michael Stone is, you know, in that same sentiment, is like, they trust this guy. They know what he can do. They can call on him when they need him, if the injuries. And right now, we don't know what's going on with Oliver Shillington.
I don't think you know what's going on with the other guys,
And
right?
Mackey, Valimaki, they have not. Like, maybe Mackey a little bit more definitely than Valimaki for sure. I think the coaches really love Connor Mackey.
I mean, tell me that you don't trust Michael Stone more than you trust Mackey or Valimaki right now. Because I do.
Mm-hmm.
Do the other guys have more long-term potential? Of course.
Yeah.
Mackey's 26. I think Valimaki's 23. Obviously, Stone's 32. But I don't think there's a Flames fan out there that would tell you right now, if it came down to trust and who you think and who you know what they can give you on a night-to-night basis, I'm sorry. I go Stone, Mackey, Valimaki. Milosh is new to the organization. He's played well so far, but I mean, still, you've got a larger sample size with Michael Stone. I go back to the guy played in 9 playoff games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't feel he was one of your top 6 defensemen in that situation, I don't think Michael Stone doesn't strike me as the kind of guy to take the summer off and show up to camp looking to get into shape. It's just a weird situation, and one that I think ends in a contract. I hope ends in a contract because I to me, that's as bankable as any guy in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Right shot defenseman. The guy's got a cannon. Should be on a contract. That's me. I didn't understand why Richie got a contract and Stone didn't get a contract, but I don't make the decisions. Brad Treliving and the organization do. Maybe they have something worked out. Maybe they don't. Speaking of last night, big 4-0 win for the Flames. We mentioned Michael Stone with a goal and the assist. Associate coach Kirk Muller joining the guys on the Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg, Peter Labardius, and Derek Wills. Following that win for the Calgary Flames, here's the associate coach Kirk Muller and his thoughts on last night's performance for the Flames.
We welcome in Flames associate coach Kirk Muller with us on the Flames Talk postgame show as well. Kirk, how would you assess the effort out there tonight for your group?
Well, I think we're happy. I mean, it's you know, you get a lot of veterans into the lineup right now, and you know, a few played the other night, but it takes a few games to get the timing and the pace and all that. So, I you know, you look at little things and all that, and you see the, you know, the guys like Huberto and Weber that come in, and Weger, and you know what we brought them in for, and their skill level, their competitive level, and all that just kept getting, you know, better and better as the game went on. But I think we just got to assess the things that we're hoping to see from different personnel.
Is it hard to assess those types of games, Kirk, when the lineups have a pretty good chunk of disparity?
Well, I think, you know, two things. I think we look at, like we're saying, like combinations of, you know, chemistry between
right.
players, D partners, that type of thing, and then stuff that we've been in, you know, working on with our systems and all that. So for us, it's kind of a measuring of, you know, what things that we can work on and get better at. And so we will take, you know, clips like from tonight's game, take it into the next few days, you know, incorporate it into practices and build each game after game. So it's a step-by-step process, right? So we don't really look at the, you know, the competition or the competitor, what kind of lineup they put. It's more how can we get better as individuals, combinations, and, you know, instill our system and make, get better at it.
I thought you played way faster tonight. Is that fair?
Yeah, we did at times, yeah. you know, there's times we didn't, but that's you can't replace games, right?
No.
So you can practice and go through the process and all that, but and especially the older guys, you got two or three games under your belt till you get that pace going and the conditioning of a game, you know, and I think there were times in the third period I think we kind of picked it up and you could see the chemistry, you know, a little more natural. New guys working with each other, so that's what we're kind of you know observing.
After last night's game in Seattle against the Kraken, kind of went around the table. Anybody jump out at you tonight? And we're all like, not really. Tonight, it's the opposite of that for me. So many guys jumped out in a positive way, but do you have a kind of a short list as far as positive reviews tonight?
Well, I was saying in there, like, you know, you look at Huberto, I don't know if you guys agree, but he reminds me so much of Hawerchuk. You know, when you look at the way he, I mean, there's a lot of talented playmaking players over the years and all that, but, you know, in different styles, beat your speed and different stuff. But when you really watch the dynamic of how he can make a play through people and the way he changes the angles with his hands, and you better be ready when you play with him because he's got great vision and he makes plays that, you know, unexpectedly. But I was just saying, man, he reminds me a lot of Dale in a lot of ways of the way he makes those type of plays.
That's a pretty significant compliment there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know.
That guy was pretty good.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's it just struck me, you know, watch him, that's the type of scenario, you know. But, you know, or, you know, look at our fourth line tonight, you know, guys that come to the new guys. You know, there's a lot of talk about the top guys and all that, but, you know, Bishop and McLean and, Brett's not kind of a new guy to the organization in a certain way, but you know, so those guys, you know, they bring different stuff that way too. So goaltending's been really strong so far in camp. The three goalies have been playing have been really strong there. So we're just gonna keep building.
Kirk Muller, associate coach of the Flames, with us on your Flames Talk postgame show. I guess for you would have been the first game that you've coached in with being able to watch Mackenzie Weegar because he didn't go with you to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. You've seen him in practices. You're familiar with him as a player. But in game action, being able to coach him, what jumped off the page at you tonight?
Well, competitive. Engage in the games. Great skill level, great skating ability. Makes things happen, you know. And he's got the ability to join the rush. You saw a few times off of faceoffs, he just exploded out. So he likes to be that fourth man joining, and you know, he's good defensively because of his skating ability. He closes hard on people, and that's quite a combination of a lot of things that he brings to the table.
Daryl Sutter talked a little bit tonight in his postgame address about Nikita Zadorov and feeling like he's off to a good start. How have you felt about what you've seen from big number 16?
Well, Big Z even said it, you know. Well, he got some power play time the other night, so I said instead of Z, he's now PP, you know. So he's, he's, you know what, he said himself, he goes, I played better first two games of exhibition games than I did a year ago. And I think he's come a long way in terms of, who he is as a player, identifying who he is, he's come a long way in 1 year. So he's still growing. He's, he's still got a lot of upscale in different areas, but you know, he's a big body that's playing the game within his limitations. And when he does that, you know, we all love to have those big defensemen like that because they're hard to play against.
Four preseason games down, four preseason games to go before your regular season opener against the Avalanche, October 13th. What do you want to see in those last four games, Kirk?
I honestly, we do have another level, so I think our pace is one thing that we got to keep pushing. You know, it's you know, this time of season, it's we still got to make plays quicker, you know, and we got to execute. We got to get a little bit more mindset of, you know, areas in the offensive zone of creating offense that way. You know, I think we're, you know, I know we nitpicked, but it's, you know, our team is built on, you know, checking and being strong and not giving up much and then making that next play and then going with a high pace and create offense. So I think it's connecting it all so that we look like a team that we're in sync. And then, of course, getting chemistry with the guys and the partners and that. So we got a lot of work to do still. We got special teams we haven't even touched on yet. Too much, so we got a lot of work to do with that stuff as well.
Thank you, Kirk. Good luck on Friday. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
There you go, Flames associate coach Kirk Muller with Steinberg, Lubardius, and Wills on the Flames Talk postgame show last night. You can get the Flames Talk postgame show wherever you get your podcasts. Same with all your favorite Sportsnet 960 programs: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, etc. Just search Flames Talk, and the postgame show will be there following every Flames contest this season. Next up for the Flames, the back half of this home-and-home against the Oilers, Friday night up the road in Edmonton. 6 o'clock Flames warm-up with Steinberg and Lubardius. Then Derek Wills takes over with Peter and has the call of the Flames and the Oilers right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Next up for Cavalry FC, a big matchup on Sunday. Huge game for them coming off of a tough result against Ottawa. We'll chat with Nick Ledgerwood next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Big game for Cavalry FC this weekend down at Spruce Meadows, ATCO Field at Spruce Meadows. They'll be welcoming Valor FC, the club out of Winnipeg, to Spruce Meadows, and a chance to clinch a CPL playoff spot as well with at least a point. And we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to the assistant coach and former member of Canada's men's national team, Nick Ledgerwood. How you doing, Nick?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, not a problem, buddy. Thanks for stepping in on such short notice. Talk about
all good.
Hey, man, all good. Thank you so much. Talk about last week. You know, there was some good, obviously, the crazy goal by Tabla to start things off, but ultimately you couldn't tie it up after that, the Escalante PK. But what are some of the good things you saw out of your group on last Saturday?
Yeah, I think and that's what we tried to focus on this week. You know, you go behind the eight ball early on in the game, fourth minute with Tabla's goal that's now circulating social media as, you know, one of the goals of the year. And you just kind of shake your head after that because we know how hard it is then to break down Ottawa, especially goal in a goal behind. They're a very well tactically trained team that just sit defensively and wait for any little mistakes. And that's exactly what we did. You know, credit to the team, and they tried everything they could to open them up and get chances. We got one back with the penalty, but it was just one of those, is, you know, too little, too late. But no fault of the guys. You know, they did everything we asked of them, and just a few little mistakes on the backside, and that cost you the game. But you know, we had large amounts of possession. We had some good entries into the box. You know, it's just that last little detail that failed us on the day.
Now, how's, like I said off the top, a chance to clinch a fourth consecutive playoff spot. Now, with a point, obviously you want the win. Now, how has the week been at practice heading into Sunday's tilt with Valor?
Yeah, really great week. I mean, the weather helps as well.
Yeah.
As we're still training outside, it's been a gorgeous week. The guys are all, you know, focused in on what we got to do. It's, you know, our little final now. Like you said, we want to clinch the playoffs here for a fourth year running, and it means that we'll end up hosting another home game at Atco Field, and that's exactly what we want to do for the club, for the fans, for the players.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to stay in that playoff spot. We don't have any intention of leaving it.
Got Meyer Bevan back, played a little bit off the bench there on Saturday. How's getting him back after his tough injury? And just how is the overall health of the club heading into the final couple games of the regular season?
Yeah, he's been a bright spark for us. And I personally, I know how it is coming back from an injury. And you'll take whatever is given to you as far as minutes or on the bench or just being part of the locker room again. And it's that fresh air that maybe a couple of the guys needed. That fresh lift, you know, his smile's contagious when he comes in the locker room. He's a great lad. And, you know, he's just going to bring that little bit of extra energy. And then he's got the quality on the field as well. I mean, when he was fit playing, you know, he was one of our top goal scorers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to have his quality back and to be available off the bench is going to be great for us.
I've been excited watching not just Calgary this year, but the entire league. It's like I said, it's the fourth year of the Canadian Premier League. Each year, better play, better players. What have you made of the overall play in the league this season?
Yeah, I think it's a league of parity now, right?
Yeah,
I think everybody's up in their game a little bit, and everybody's you know, trying to find those pieces that fit their club a little better. And it is right. We should have at least five or six teams fighting for playoffs. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. You know, in the past years, you've kind of separated both your, okay, well, these three, four teams are making playoffs and these three, four teams aren't. And, you know, this year, especially, you have everybody's beating everybody. It's great for the league. It's great to grow across Canada. Next year, we're going to have another team in there. So you can definitely see that this league is here to stay, and it's growing while it's doing that.
Now, a bit of, like, kind of off topic, but kind of on topic here. It's been a bit of an issue in the NFL with non-contact injuries with players playing on artificial turf. Now, Cavalry have the benefit of playing on one of two grass pitches in this league, Halifax being the other. I know grass is expensive to maintain, especially in a climate like Canada. But like we just talked about the advantages and just the quality of differences between artificial turf and grass, especially when you're playing at such a professional level, you know there's going to be the health impact as well on it.
Yeah, and we had a couple big injuries at the beginning of the year with Fraser Aird and Tom Field, and it was due to the turf. And I think at this level, the speeds that these guys reach and the power that they have in training, you know, one wrong step, and with that speed, with that power, if you're not able to move the turf, if it's a wrong step, like you would be able to on grass, you know, you're just going to rip the grass up if it's a bad step and all your weight and power is there. You can't do that on turf. So what gives? Yeah, it's your body. And, you know, mostly it's the knees or the ankles. And so, you know, I was always a fan of, I'd rather have grass to play on, you know, and it is hard to maintain, but Spruce Meadows has done unbelievable job this year. I mean, if you looked at the grass last game or the field last game, it's in the best shape it's ever been.
And that was after horses were on.
And that's leading into October as well.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any excuses not to do it. Like you said, it's probably a cost factor and the upkeep with it. And you just can't train on it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. The more you train on it, the more it chews it up. So you got to pick your training facilities carefully, whereas I think most of the teams that have turf end up just training in their stadium because it's turf. But yeah, there is that concern. The more professional you get with it, the more injuries you're going to get because of the speed and power of these mm-hmm. players.
Now, you spent a little something personal to you. You spent some time in Australia helping getting your coaching license up and going, helping out with the Canadian women's team. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was great. It kind of came out of nowhere. I got asked to be a part of the technical staff for the camp in Australia. They had two friendlies against Australia, and this was kind of their prep camp for the next World Cup that's going to be held next summer in Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was great to see a different perspective in coaching at such a high level. I mean, the women's team is the gold standard of women's football. And just the amount of details that's put into it and the amount of accessibility that the players have to every marginal gain is phenomenal. There's no questioning why they're on top with everything that they have. I think we traveled with 18 staff members down to Australia.
Wow.
So it's phenomenal. I learned a ton of stuff, and you know, it was great because I could pick and choose some stuff that I thought would help out our team and our situation as well, and was able to bring back, you know, maybe even just some different perspectives on it to start a conversation with the Cavs and the coaching staff here. So yeah, it was a great opportunity.
That's awesome. And one more from me before we, well, a couple more, actually, I'll say. The first one here. You know, Canada, you were 50 caps with the Canadian men's national team between 2007 and 2016. Now, it's hit some history here. They're going to the World Cup for the first time since 1986 with a real good squad. Now, how's your feeling on the squad heading into Qatar here in the next couple months here?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been the best squad that Canada's ever had,
yeah.
No doubt. The depth in it, the players in it, especially in the offensive half, where the players are playing at. They're playing at their club. They're contributing at the clubs. You know, I think that's the best Canada's ever had as far as depth. I would say the only concern for me going into the World Cup is our back line. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you compare the front to the back, our back line's not as strong. There's some great players playing at a great level, but I think at the highest of an international level, when you start facing a Belgium mm-hmm. and a Croatia in World Cup matches, you know, the boys are going to have to definitely be on top of their game to get those results.
And last one for me, Nick. Just how important is it to try and fill Spruce Meadows' last two games here? Just get that the crowd going, that support. I know you guys have had one of the best home records in the entire league. Just speak to the support of the fans in this city.
Yeah, and I think it's been great. Last home game, I think we had just over 4,500 fans out, and they were loud. They were pushing the boys on. It was awesome, and I think, you know, the boys after the game felt a little bad because they're like, man, we got to repay these fans that came in.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came here for a win and we didn't give it to them today. So, you know, that's going to be in the back of their mind come Sunday. And I think just the realization that the off season's so long here in Canada that
yeah.
why wouldn't you want to come out and watch the last two games of the season and support the boys? Because you know what's coming after that, and it's a long winter. So,
oh, boy, yeah.
Right? You know, why wouldn't you want to come out and support us in our playoff
yeah.
run and the push for it? So, you know, I don't think there's any more reason to come out and do that. I think everybody's hopping on the bandwagon as well as far as soccer and the World Cup coming up.
Yep.
And seeing it live is just a different experience all around.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a season ticket holder. I think it's some of the best atmosphere in this city, one of the best tickets and money can buy here. And you guys are doing a great job and being competitive at it as well. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us here. And best of luck on Sunday against Valor.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. It's Nick Ledgerwood, assistant coach of Cavalry FC. Big game on Sunday, 1:30 at Spruce Meadows, taking on Valor FC. Points, and they're in.
Imagine you'll be in attendance.
Oh,
for
yeah, yeah, I'll be there.
Hooting and hollering. And Alex, are you going on the weekend?
Some of their obscenities, yeah.
I unfortunately won't be, but I think I'll watch the game. I have a subscription to be able to watch those, so... Yeah.
Hopefully they got no technical difficulties this time.
Yeah. That's a good point. But yeah, Valor's a team that I think surprised people this year.
They're on the up and up here as well. You know, they were one of the original four clubs when this league was formed. And Valor, like, they've never made the playoffs in the 4 years that this league has been around. So you know that they're going to give the best possible that they can do. And they've beaten Cavalry as well this year.
Gonna be a good one. I'm surprised you're not going again, Alex. Did you enjoy you went last weekend with the station? You enjoyed yourself. You're gonna be going back, I'm assuming.
Yeah. The biggest challenge for me is I am not a driver. I usually avoid driving at all costs, so it's a little challenging. I know there's a shuttle. I think that leaves Rose and Crown to get to Spruce Meadows.
Yeah, there's a bus that runs from.
Is there one? That's a Spruce Meadows bus.
There's one. If you take the LRT to Somerset Bridlewood,
yeah,
they have the Spruce
say.
Meadows bus that can take you to the stadium there. So
okay, yeah, I've been meaning to get out to more of these games because soccer is the best to me.
It's growing like a bad weed in this country.
Exactly. So yeah, maybe I have to get the next because it's three home games in a row, correct?
Yeah, they got two games. I got Valor on Saturday, then their last regular season home game is next the following Saturday against Pacific.
Some big games.
And then they have the dual legged semifinal. So the lower seed will host the opening game and then have to travel on the next one. So.
All right, good luck to Cavalry this weekend.
Yeah.
One more thing to do before we wrap up the show. It's another edition of What You Want to Talk About, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
So what you want?
960-960, the fan feedback line, always open to you, and especially when we do what you want to talk about on a Thursday ahead of a long weekend for us. There will be no morning show tomorrow, National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, so make sure that you you spend some time understanding why that's become an important day in our history of Canada tomorrow. That would be what I would encourage you to do. We'll play some best of tomorrow morning. If you want to catch up on some of the best content from the week, you can do so then. We'll also, this is the last edition of Sportsnet today in the morning.
Yeah.
Because on Monday, in case you missed it, George Russick and Matt Rose take over your airwaves with the big show with Russick and Rose officially 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. on Monday. So be tuned in next Monday morning on your drive into work or wherever you get your podcast for the first edition of Russick and Rose. We announced that a little bit earlier this week as part of our new fall lineup, and we've got some more announcements coming. Really looking forward to that on Monday with Russick and Rose.
Yeah, man, I cannot wait for this one. George Russick brings that energy. Matty Rose, we know what he brings.
Everything.
We know what Matt Rose does, but yeah, I'm really excited. You'll first get to hear George in Calgary here on Sunday. Inside the Lines ain't going anywhere. He's still going to host that, so that's a big popular program ahead of your Sunday NFL action as well. Very popular on these on this station. But no, it's excited. Big punch in the arm for us, and I cannot wait for Monday.
What do we have at 960-960? Connor Bedard in town on Sunday afternoon, boys. Yes, the Sunday fun day for the Calgary Hitmen after splitting a home-and-home series with the Swift Current Broncos to start the season. Perhaps the next first overall pick in the NHL draft coming to town with the Regina Pats on Sunday. So no Flames hockey this weekend. Good chance for you to get down to the Saddle Dome and check out the Calgary Hitmen. This text says, can we do more of what does Jay Woodcroft look like? If you have a good enough one, I suppose we can do more of what does Jay Woodcroft look like. If you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about earlier this week, Patrick Dumas and a number of other people, including our boss, sent us a list. There was a gambling website that did some sort of beauty app recognition thing for all NHL coaches and ranked them from 1 to 32.
They all scored.
Jay Woodcroft was first. Daryl Sutter was second. Bruce Boudreau was asked about it in Vancouver the other day. He was 16th overall. And when we brought that up, the text line in Calgary, at least, was, I'll say, intrigued by the ranking of Jay Woodcroft at number one. Some of you were very mean. Some of you were
some little
accurate.
A little rough stuff there.
That's fair. What do we got here? Can we do more of what does Jay Woodcroft look like?
Jay, leave it to
can
Beaver
we do more Wolf. Of what Logo hates? I just said I don't think you need to do champagne for a division win, and now you guys think I hate fun and I hate life. And as this text says, Logo hates puppies but loves being in traffic. That's not true.
Jay's heard you too. They're not celebrating today if the Orioles lose.
And they shouldn't. What are they doing? It's a wild card spot. They're gonna be popping Dom Perignon like, ooh.
We're maybe the four seed.
Come on. I can't do that. What does this say? Won't be going to the AJHL showcase. Connor Bedard is in Red Deer Saturday. I'm going to watch that. Probably won't be able to see him live for only $27 after the season. if you guys want to stick around, we'll be playing Beer League in Black Falls on Sunday. I'll be a little bit busy hosting the show and doing an intermission. That depends on what time your Beer League game is.
Sunday, so that you're free. Like you just have to stay in Black Falls.
I have to stay in Black Falls on Sunday, which I don't really have time for
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with Black Falls.
No, but I just I don't plan on spending the night. Me and Aaron have to get home after the show, but good luck in your Beer League game. You should do no fun Thursdays. I like fun. I just want to be clear about this. I like fun. Logo hates tacos and loves tapioca pudding. That's not true. I can't say that about Jay Woodcroft. You know who you are. 6650. I can't say that. You know I can't say Jay Woodcroft looks like the kid from Up. That's a low key good
reference. Is he the
Google it?
Okay.
You Google it.
Kid from Up.
Do you know what that reference is, Alex? You're probably too new for me to say you Google it and you don't understand, do you?
Oh, yeah, he does. Holy crap, he does.
I see it. Yeah, I see it.
No, but do you know what I mean when I say that?
You Google it?
You Google it.
Oh, no, I have no.
Okay. Yeah, you're too new around here to get that. One day I'll explain to you the intricacies of the clips, the audio files of Sportsnet 960, and you'll understand what that means.
Lubo's got a good one there.
This guy really wants us to go to his beer league game, 7:45. I'm not going to be there on Sunday. I'm going on Saturday. I'm not staying for your... this is a good text that combines sort of some what you want to talk about topics that got run this week. Jay Woodcroft. Oh, I lost it. Come on. There you go. Jay Woodcroft looks like he popped champagne after the Oilers win a period. That's very good. Logo is the guy who charges late fees for unrewound tapes. Ha, ha, ha.
Be kind, rewind.
Jay Woodcroft looks like wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
You know, and he does look like Seth MacFarlane, so there's that Family Guy tie-in.
Looks like Snosberry's guy from Super Trooper. Super Trooper's a bit before my time. And I'm going to Google things. And I see some of these things you Google on a work computer, and you get a little bit worried.
Jay Woodcroft looks like a fat Jimmy Fallon.
Stop. You can't say that. That's not very nice.
Cockroach guy from MIB.
Oh,
sugar
my God.
In water. Sugar water guy.
I'm not sure. There's things that the text line loves. Food topics. Me hating fun. And apparently, what does Jay Woodcroft look like references? Those are the favorites now of the text line.
One thing I'd really like to know, because we were talking about this earlier, is some of the text line's coolest sports memorabilia. I know that's a little standard, but I'm really curious to that, because we were talking about it earlier.
Oh, because we were talking about the home run ball that Billy Lasagna, or whatever his name is,
Frankie Lasagna,
missed last night. Frankie Lasagna. That's a fake name. There's no way. Yeah, so Alex was curious about like sports memorabilia things, because we were talking about the baseball that Frankie Lasagna, which, again, is ridiculous in all terms, all sorts of levels. That guy's name is Frankie Lasagna. Like, that guy's got to be a plant for that type of story. Because he was wondering, like, would you keep the baseball? Would you sell it? Are you a sports memorabilia thing? Like, what would you do with the ball? Because, of course, the stories come out about the guy that caught Mark McGwire's home run ball. He wanted to meet Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire said, beat it, pal. And he said, okay, well, screw you, McGwire. I'm going to sell the ball. And he sold it for $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, I don't think that Aaron Judge's baseball last night would be worth that. Now, somebody on the text line said that there was an offer from a businessman in New York who offered $2 million for it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay that much. Again, I'm never going to be in a position to pay that much, but
some people want history, I guess. Jay Woodcroft has an IMDb page. This has actually been thrown out. He was in a movie called Separate Vacations. And an episode of The Littlest Hobo?
Yeah,
the
pilot have you seen episode? That on?
I got to find that.
You haven't seen it's all over Twitter. You'll find it very easily. This. Yes, he's in there.
There's a voice.
Keeps on calling me.
Jay Woodcroft looks like that kid who used to walk around with a teacher at recess. There was a real person named Luigi Spaghetti. I couldn't think of a more fake Italian name if I tried. Jay Woodcroft. That's actually a good one. Jay Woodcroft looks like dyed hair Creed from The Office.
Okay.
Fair. His hair is blazing black. Like, that looks... I'm not sure if he dyes his hair, but it looks like he
might. It was jet black.
I can't believe you read that Jimmy Fallon one. That's so rude.
Yeah.
Woodcroft looks like the toque-wearing guy from 51st Dates that can't paint. You guys...
I got called to. I got to do the cougar thing.
Oh yeah. Do your cougar call. Yeah, because Zach Wilson's.
He's back, baby.
Zach Wilson's back. Lock up your mothers ahead of Week 4.
It's
in
also
the NFL.
It's hilarious that he also went to BYU. Cougars. You know, it just plays into the whole thing.
Why, Patrick? Why would that be ironic?
It's hilarious.
Is it? Why would that be hilarious?
He likes what he likes.
What day were we talking about Woodcroft on what you want to talk about?
It was Wednesday.
Was it Wednesday?
Yeah. No, Tuesday. Wednesday I keep
Tuesday?
No, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. When was the coaches? Yeah, because today's Thursday. Yesterday we did that I'm no fun. And everybody just sent in everything else. Yeah. That's about it.
No, that's what it is. Jay Woodcroft looks like Randall from Recess. There we go.
That's cruel and unusual, but not entirely wrong. That's what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Thank you to Nick Ledgerwood for joining us. Thank you to Emery Hunt. Thank you for listening. No morning show tomorrow. National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. We'll be back on Monday on your airwaves with the brand new edition of The Big Show with Russick and Rose. Make sure you're tuned in at 6 o'clock tomorrow, or excuse me, 6 o'clock on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back Monday. Coming up later today, though, more Flames talk coming up later with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers at 4 o'clock. Don't miss it. You can get your Sportsnet 960 podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and more. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you on Monday here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.